Praise the Lord. Can you tell? I am. I'm excited, man. So I'm excited to see you, first of all, but I am excited about Jesus. You know what I've determined to be? And I have determined to be a minister of encouragement. That is my calling. I want to encourage people. I could take this word and I could tear people up with it. I've done that before. I mean, just, you know, split them wide open, make them feel so bad, make them feel so down. I am not that minister. I am a minister of encouragement. I want to see people lifted up. You know, I feel like people have enough in life to face and challenges that when they come into a place like this, they need to receive a word of encouragement that's going to change their attitude, help their life, give them a positive outlook, knowing that Jesus can do all things in their life. Amen. That's just who I am. I love people. I want to see people blessed and favored in life and going through life victorious. I want to see healthy homes and children prospering and couples prospering and relationships prospering. Amen. I want you to know that you are loved this morning so deeply. Amen. And I am so blessed by each one of you. You bless us. Hallelujah. Stand this morning. Amen. We're going to give you an encouraging word today. Praise God. Transformation is so good. God wants and enjoys change. He is not opposed to change. Hello? Proverbs 23:7. You know this verse of Scripture. Look at it this morning. Praise God. Proverbs 23:7. Hallelujah. It's on its way. There you go. Thanks, brother. For as he thinks, as a man thinks where? In his heart. So is he, as a man thinks. You are a product of your thinking. You are a product of your thinking. Today, where you are today, started with yesterday's thinking. Now, you can say, oh me, or oh my, or praise the Lord. But you are a product of that. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody this morning and say, you look marvelous today, darling. Amen. You do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is faithful. Amen. Wow. You know, we have been looking at the Old Testament and the examples. We're going to go back this morning a little bit and look at the Old Testament and of Caleb and Joshua and coming out of the bondage of Egypt, going into the promised land. And so they came out, but the people that were with them came out with a bad report or a negative report or negative thinking. And God doesn't want you living in negative thinking. Amen. Amen? Because they limited God by the way they perceived. And often we can limit what God desires to do in our life by how we think or what we perceive. We can limit him. Many people seemingly have an inferiority complex. Has anybody ever heard of that? You know, they just feel so inferior. You know, that is of the enemy. That is not of God. Now listen, we don't boast in the flesh. We boast in the spirit. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hello? So a lot of people have an inferiority, and because of that inferiority, they feel like they're just held back. Well, I would, but, you know, I don't know if I can. I've never been able to. Paul, in fact, wrote Timothy. Timothy had a name. He was named Timothy for a reason, because he was timid. Amen. And Paul had to write Timothy and remind him, said, hey, Timothy, let me remind you of the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands. He said, stir it up. Stir it up. He said, Timothy, God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Timothy, what's going on, buddy? Get up, shake it off, come on. But a lot of people fall into this area of thinking and that they're inferior and that they just can't. If you think that way, you won't. When God says you can, God says all things, Luke 1:38, God says all things are possible. How many believe that? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Can you imagine Mary, how she felt when God came to her and said, the angel came to her and said, you're going to be great with child. You know what? She said, what did she do? This little girl says, be it unto me, Lord, according to your what? According to your word. She could have said, oh, Lord, not me. Lord, I'm so unworthy, not me. She could have really had an inferiority complex. And not only that, to be pregnant and unmarried at that time was equal to being stoned. You would have been stoned if that was found out and you were not under the law, they'd have killed you. Hello? Anybody here this morning? God didn't want you to be, turn to somebody and say, God didn't want you to be inferior. Amen? God's not giving you the spirit of fear today. God's come to banish fear, doubt, and unbelief. Amen. Our minds and thoughts are powerful, and often we limit ourselves with our minds and our thoughts. You got to analyze every thought. The Bible says to cast down every imagination that comes contrary to the knowledge of Christ. When something comes into your mind that is against the word of God, the very first action you do is open up your mouth and you speak that word over that and you take that thought captive. How do you take a thought captive? You don't take a thought captive by thoughts. You take a thought captive by opening your mouth and speaking the word of God. You can sit there all day and think about it and think about it. It's not going to change the thought. But I'm telling you one thing, you can't open your mouth and still think about it and speak the word. It's going to change your life when you open your mouth and you speak the word. That thought is going to change. And if you want your life to change and the pattern of your life to change, it starts with your thought. Woo! I'm really preaching in this Presbyterian church this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So the enemy wants to contain you. He doesn't want you to break free. He doesn't want you to be free in grace. He wants to contain you where you are. He wants to defeat you and cause you to be useless. But I want to tell you, God wants to use you. Amen. God wants to use you greatly. Praise God. You need to break free from that pattern of negative thinking and realize that you serve a big God and that He wants to use you. Amen and amen. Our belief determines whether we see God's glory. What we believe determines whether we see God's glory operating in our lives. Do you realize that? Go over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. You know, one of the shortest verses of Scripture, the shortest verse of Scripture is in this chapter. John chapter 11, look at verse 35. Verse 35, John 11, 35. What does it say? I was in college. We were in Southeastern University, and I had a professor there that he'd passed out a test, we'd all taken that test, and everybody in that whole class failed that test. We always had a devotion in the morning and before class started, and we all came in, and we all knew we failed it. We all came in. And my buddy got up and he said, my devotion today is Jesus wept. And he sat back down. And I said, yeah, that's a good one. Amen. Listen, he said, back up to verse 34. And he said, where have you laid him? This is Lazarus. Where have you laid him? Speaking of Lazarus. And he said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them could not this man open the blinded eyes have kept him from dying? Well, of course he could, right? And Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. You know what's prevented so many people from seeing who they are in Jesus Christ? Is there's been a stone there. It's been the law. The law was made of stone. But when you take away the stone and you realize and see all the grace that God has abounding towards you, you can say, say in your heart, man, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm more than able to go up and take this mountain, amen, because of what Christ has done for me. Hallelujah. I receive that abundance of grace in my life and the gift of righteousness in my heart. Hallelujah. I am free from the stone. I am free from the condemnation. I am living in life right now, and I receive that life. My thinking is changing, amen. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. He said, take away the stone. Right? Martha's sister said to him, who was dead, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. The law will make you stink. The law will make you dead. Amen? Grace will free you and make you alive. He was dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Turn to somebody and say, how long have you been dead? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, God wants to make you alive. Say, it's time to come out of those grave clothes. It's time to come out of the grave clothes. It's time to come out of the way of thinking that is inferior to what God has for you. God has for you a good plan. Hallelujah. His thoughts towards you are nothing but good. Amen. When you get up in the morning, you need to be singing hallelujah because God's got a good day planned for me. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Jesus said, take away that stone. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see what? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. What hinders people from seeing the glory of God is just one simple thing. They don't believe. And you know where the enemy attacks them? He attacks them in their mind so they won't believe. But I want to tell you this morning, if you believe, you can see the glory of God. How many want to see the glory of God? Amen. What is the glory of God? It's the tangible manifestation of God doing something in someone else's life. It's when somebody couldn't walk that God heals them and they walk. It's when somebody couldn't talk and God heals them, they can talk. When somebody has a deaf ear, God opens up the ear. Amen. That's the tangible glory of God manifesting in our lives. When somebody has a school bill and God shows up and gives them $5,000, hallelujah, scholarship, that is the tangible evidence of the glory of God operating in our life. Amen. And he said, if you only would believe, you would see the glory of God. And what the enemy wants to do is keep us in this place of inferiority so that we will not receive, keep us under condemnation, keep us under the law instead of God's grace. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I want to see the glory of God operating in my life. I want to see the tangible manifestation of God's glory operating in my life. Not on a monthly or yearly basis, or not once in a while, but on a daily basis. Wow, hallelujah. Look at this, Romans 12:2. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Romans 12:2. You know this scripture. I love this scripture. One of my favorite scriptures. It is an awesome scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, this age. How many know the world thinks wrong? You don't have to be around too many people out there and too many philosophies in the world to think how stupid they are and still can breathe. I love that saying, man. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. Wow. There are some crazy things going on out there. Hello? But he said, be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideas and new attitudes. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Rather, it says, let the mind of Christ be in you. I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't have any stinking thinking. He doesn't have any stinking thinking. I'm going somewhere this morning, guys. I just want to bless you so good today. God wants to bless you so good today. But I want to tell you, we got to get out of the stinking thinking. We got to start seeing who we are in Christ. We've got to get on the inside of us what God has done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, by its new ideas, new attitudes. Certain somebody said, it's time to get a new attitude. So that you may prove for yourselves what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in the sight for you. We must always be in the process of renewing our minds to God's word. It is a process that does not change. Amen. Our spirit is sealed. Our spirit is delivered. Our spirit is full. But our mind can get confused at times. Our mind can get even depressed at times. So you've got to continually renew that mind with God's word. Hello? Metamorphosis, a change in evolution taking place in your mind. Heaven's resources for us are limitless and exhaustible. You cannot exhaust all that God has for you. Woo! Amen. Psalm 78:41, popular scripture. Andrew, in fact, wrote a book off of this scripture. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Wow. We can never exhaust God's resources and power in our lives, but people put limits on him by turning back when God is saying, go forward. If God's called you to do something, amen, it's always bigger than yourself. If God's called you to do something, it's always bigger than your abilities. Hello? If God's called you to do something, God's called you to be a lawyer, it's always bigger than your natural abilities. God's called you to open a business, it's usually always bigger than your natural abilities. Why is that? Because God wants you to depending on him and not on yourself. Can anybody say amen this morning? Amen. God always calls us to do things that are bigger than ourselves because he wants you depending on him and not your little pea brain. Oh, my goodness. He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. And it's not about us, but it is about him. Hallelujah. All right, turn over to Numbers 13:31. We're going to look at the scripture again through 33. The men went up with him, said, we are not able to go up against them, for they are stronger than us. They brought up what kind of report? A good report? An evil report of the land, saying the land which we have gone through, so search it, is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature, that we saw giants, the son of Anak, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were, in their sight. The spies didn't know the truth. They didn't know the truth. It's not the truth that sets you free, it's the truth you know that sets you free. They simply assumed they were inferior because that's how they regarded themselves. They saw their own selves as inferior. Though God said, hey, I've given you the land, they saw their own self as inferior instead of going up and possessing what God gave them. Dropping on down, look at Numbers 14, 1, 2, and 8 through 10. The congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the congregation said, would God that we'd have died in Egypt. Oh, Lord, it was so good before then. Would God we'd died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give us a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people, for they are bread for us. What a different attitude. For they are bread for us. Amen. Their defense is departed from them, and God is what? With us. But the congregation was ready to stone them. Wow. You got to be careful who you're sharing things with. Hello? The people grumbled and did not want to hear what Caleb and Joshua had to say. People's opinions of you can limit you from receiving what God has for you. People's opinions of you can limit you from receiving what God has for you. Don't allow people's opinions to limit God in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Opinion is different from good advice. And opinion is different from good advice. For instance, tomorrow morning you get up, you're feeling great, you're looking good, you're ready to go to work, you walk into your office place, And first thing they tell you, LaToya, hey, LaToya, you're not looking too good today. And you think, what? She sits down at her desk. She begins work, comes up to, hey, LaToya, how are you feeling today? She's thinking, what? Somebody else comes by and says, LaToya, I don't know. I just don't think you look right today. All of a sudden, you know what? She starts thinking, not her, but, you know, a lot of people start thinking because I know her. Amen. She's now, hold on a second, devil. This ain't right. But you know what? People start assuming an opinion already and thinking, you know what? I don't feel good. Because, you know what? They run to the restroom and look in the mirror first thing. Or you're feeling great and you're going to the doctor for your yearly exam and you walk into the doctor's office and you sit down. He comes in, does a little exam, and he said, well, let's do a little x-ray, and you do a little x-ray, and he comes out of the x-ray room, his face is all drawn. He says, you know what, we need to do more tests, and we're going to have you come back next week. They never do tests right now. You ever notice that? That's why they call you a patient. Hello? You come back next week, so you, and so what do you do? First thing you do is you go home, and you just, praise God, I am the healed of the Lord. No, you get on the internet and look up every symptom. Right? And you search it out and you try to find it and you call somebody else. And, oh, I went to the doctor. You know, people's opinions. Hello? Are you listening to me? Amen? Or you walk into church and you got on a brand new pair of jeans. It has to be Discovery Church, right? You got on a brand new pair of jeans. You think you're looking good and somebody comes up to you. Some other lady comes up to you to another lady and says, you know, what are you doing wearing them jeans? And all of a sudden your opinion about those jeans just changed. Hello? And then somebody comes up and says, man, I don't know about them jeans on you. They don't look too good. And then you get thinking, oh, and then you run into the ladies' restroom. You're trying to look at your jeans. Hello? Someone's opinion about you. What's good advice? Good advice is given to help you grow. Don't receive someone's opinion about you. Amen. Receive God's opinion about you. God's opinion says you are good. God's opinion says, I love you even when you're in a mess. God's opinion says, you're going to make it no matter what. You know why? Because I'm with you and I never leave you and I never forsake you. Praise God. You may be going through things right now, but I want to tell you, God's opinion of you is good. In fact, the Bible says he sings over you. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Praise God. What's good advice? Good advice comes from good friends. Good advice comes from good friends. Turn to somebody and say, only a good friend, come on, turn to somebody and tell them this, will tell you if you've got spinach in your teeth. Hello? Is that not true? Only a good friend. Other people will let you go around and laugh at you with the spinach in your teeth. But a good friend will come up to you and say, hey, you've got spinach in your teeth. Oh, well, thank you so much. Boy, I'm glad when Holly tells me that. Amen. Hey, baby, you got something right there, baby. All right, thank you, baby. I appreciate it. Why? Why do they do that? Why do people tell you that? Because they love you. Amen. And good friends are a value to have. You need somebody every once in a while to tell you some good things about yourself. But opinions, people with opinions are like a nose. Everybody's got one. Right? So, wow. So the journey, listen to me, the journey to the promised land, you know how long it should have taken them to get to the promised land? From Egypt to the promised land, it should have taken them 14 days. You know how long it took them? 40 years. 14 days. 40 years. Turn to somebody and say, that's a lot of wandering. And that's just a lot of people do. God's got such a great plan for their life, but they want to wander around the desert because their thinking has become awry. They've come so accustomed to what they're in, what they're used to. And God says, I want to change your life. I want to bring you up. I want to give you a new perspective in life. I want to bless you so much. Will you just now rise up and believe me so that the glory of the Lord will be manifested in your life? Hallelujah. Get out of that stinking thinking for once and come and find out what I've got for you. It is nothing but good, says the Lord. Amen. Come on, give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to agree with God. Agree with God. Amen. You want to, don't limit God. Don't limit your thinking. Agree with him and say, yes and amen, Lord. You've got good for me and my family. People are held back from ministry because they feel inferior. I am not an extrovert. I am an introvert. I don't know why God called a guy to be a pastor that's an introvert. You know, a lot of times when I get up here, you think, wow, pastor gets up there. Woo! I'm over there praying, say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got confidence not in my flesh, but in Jesus. God wants to use you. Amen. God wants to use you. Get out of the flesh and just get over into the spirit and say, yes, Lord, amen. God, hallelujah. Get out of that thinking and say, yes, Lord, you can use me. Some of you need to be running for political office, and you need to say, yes, God, use me. We need some Holy Ghost-filled people in political office. But you're thinking, well, you know, I don't have the schooling. But you have a desire in your heart. If you God put the desire in your heart, then you need to rise up and do it. I said, if God put the desire in your heart, you need to rise up and do it. Some of you make some great politicians. How many believe we need some good politicians? Am I the only one? Amen. Wouldn't you love to vote for a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, wall-to-wall, Jesus-filled Christian as a mayor of our city? Wouldn't that make a difference? Hello, wouldn't it make a difference to have a governor, I believe he is, but a governor who is spirit-filled, a believer, amen, knew God's grace. Wouldn't it make a difference, and I thank God for our president, you know, God's growing him in Jesus. He is learning about, I mean, he was taking criticism the other day because somebody took a picture of pastors laying hands on him and praying for him. I am so thankful that people are praying for him, aren't you? Amen. Come on, somebody, amen. The Bible says, beloved, I pray that you prosper even in every way, that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospering. 3 John 1:2, out of the Amplified. It's God's will for our life to have a prosperous soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And when you get those in line with God's word, you cannot help but be successful and prosper. Amen. When God spoke to Abraham, he had to remove the limitations of his thinking, and Abraham had to step out and go to a country that he's never been before. God says it's time to step out of that thinking and get into my thinking. Hallelujah. Wow, God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham did not turn back. Romans 4:20. Let's look at this real quick. Romans 4:20. Amen. Now, no unbelief. Distrust made him waver, doubting a question concerning the promise of God. But he grew how? Strong and was empowered by faith, and he gave praise and glory to God. Amen. God can even remove limitations in our physical health and is able to make it perfect. Able to make it perfect, not only in our mind, but in our body. Deuteronomy 34:7. Deuteronomy 34:7. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His what? His eye was not dim, nor did he have Viagra. Some of you didn't get that. Hello? His natural force was not abated. Turn to somebody and say amen to that. Come on, amen. God is able to strengthen you. Amen, all the days of your life. Nobody wants that, but pastor, I'll take all the days of my life. I take that, praise God. I was with a guy yesterday, and he was younger than me. He's 62 years old, and he was having such a hard time getting around. And I was saying, thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm 63, and I can run 2 miles every other day and 3 miles on some other days. I am not going to allow... I am not going to allow age to be a factor in my life. Are you? Is that going to limit you? Well, I'm too old now. I'm 40. Is that going to limit you? Are you going to allow the enemy to speak to you and tell you that you're too old? No, you're not too old. You're just getting started. Don't allow the world to put that system on you. It says at 65, you got to sit down and shut up. You need to get up and fire up. Amen. Some of the greatest days you have are ahead of you, not behind you. Amen. Don't allow that thinking to sink into your mind and thinking, well, I've got to retire and just draw back and get in my rocking chair and collect some Social Security. What is that doing anybody any good? You old selfish thing. I'm smiling. Amen. Refire, not retire. Man, you got all kinds of time now. Praise God. What can I do for Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's make it happen, Lord, you and me. Amen. Praise God. I know people that are retiring, and they're busier now for the Lord than they've ever been. It's not bad to retire. You know, I'm never going to retire. I will never retire from preaching the Word of God. Never. I might be 90, 100, 120. I'm still going to be giving it. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus, man. Why is it? It's because the mindset of the world has come in on people, even in Christianity, and says you are through at 65. You just, well, sit down, shut up. You've got, listen to me, you've got life experience. You've got things that you can teach young people that they don't even know. God has equipped you. God has blessed you. Some of you have got such an entrepreneurial spirit. You could get up and teach a class on how to be successful in life, how to make money, how to give money away. God's got such goodness in you. God, hallelujah. Don't give up just because you're getting old. Just get up. Get strong. Moses said, hey, he was strong. Amen. Abraham was strong in the Lord. Don't allow that mindset to come in on you and steal from you. How can you say that, Pastor? Because I'm 63 and I ain't gonna allow it to happen to me. I got people all the time. Are you gonna take your retirement? I said, why retirement? You think you can live off Social Security? You are wrong. Are you serious? Am I going to take it? Oh, yes. When I get to it, I will take it. Amen? I'll be glad to take it. You want to give it to me? I'll gladly receive it. Amen? I paid into it. But it's not going to change my mindset about serving God just because there's another birthday coming up. Do you see how subtle the world is to get people thinking? It's really interesting. I'm going to stop in just a second, but it's really interesting. America is about the only country that exalts youth and not old people. We are just so youth-minded. Youth, and I love youth. I am thankful. Thank you, guys. You guys young over there and you guys young out here. I love you guys. But in most countries, the older person is honored and esteemed much higher. You know what? That's not a bad thing, because I'm telling you, you can learn so much. How I'd longed to have had a father growing up all my life and being able to glean from him and learn so much from him. What a blessing that is. If you had a dad and he, maybe some of your dads are still living and you're older, what a blessing that is. Holly's dad's 80, what? 8? 86? Holly's dad's 8. I love that guy. He is such a sweet man and so full of wisdom. Young people, I'm going to tell you, if you want to be blessed, find an older person, get around them a little bit, and say, would you just teach me some life skills? Are you hearing me? It will change your mind. They will bless you. I tell you, some of the older people, they get this gentle, I don't know what happens when you become a grandfather, but you get this little gentle spirit going on. You know what I'm saying? Amen. When I was a teenager, and not only a teenager, on through my life, I had that wee-aw spirit. But I've become much more mellow. Ask Holly. She'll tell you. But I'm going to tell you guys, what I'm saying, God loves you. He loves you so much. Don't give up. Are you listening to me this morning? Jeremiah 29:11. I quoted this a little earlier. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and what? Not evil. Turn to somebody and say, you are so precious and valuable to God. Say, you are an object of his affection. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows right well. Peter opened his mouth and said, God is not a respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. God is fair and equitable to everyone. He does not distinguish between genders. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus came to remove every wrong belief that people had about women and limited them. Do you realize that? Until he came, men were referred to as sons of Abraham and women were excluded. He was the first person to refer to a woman as a daughter of Abraham. Jesus is a great liberator, man. Woo! He is the great liberator. Amen? You know, the longest recorded conversation that Jesus had was with a woman. Do you realize that? Amen? John 4, woman at the well. In the Old Testament, husbands had all the rights, and they could divorce their wives at any time for any reason. Jesus restored the balance in marital relationships. He is good. You women should be shouting right now. Rahab, the harlot, was mentioned along with the number of men who performed great acts of faith in Hebrews. Hello. Amen. God used her. And if God used her, ladies, he can use you. Praise God. God is awesome, man. When we start thinking I'm inferior, I'm down here, I can't be used, or God will never use me, or you get out of that way. Get out of yourself. Get beside. I've never understood that expression. They're beside themselves. I've always tried to do that. I never understood that really bad. Get from beside yourself. Get in Jesus. He sees you as valuable. He sees you as worthy. Why? Not because of you, but because of him. Because if God sees you as a valuable person this morning. Some of you may have had that orphan spirit and growing up in that area and that arena of thinking. And man, you know, the prisons are so filled with these kids that think wrong thoughts because they don't have a proper understanding of what dad is and what dad means and all that. And they start having this complex in their own lives and thinking, I got to go out there and, you know, I got to be cool and I got to be hip and I got to make this happen and blah, blah, blah. And they end up shooting somebody and going to prison. That is not a life, man. God's got much better for you than that. Amen. God's got good for you. Stand this morning. Praise God. Come on, give God some praise today. Turn somebody. Yeah, go ahead. Give me some praise. Amen. Turn somebody and say, you know what? It's time you start thinking different. Come on, tell them. Say, it's time you start thinking different. Say, God's got good for you. Turn somebody and say, God's got good for you. Oh, look them in the eye and say, God's got real good for you. Say, God's got good for your marriage, good for your life. If you're a single person this morning, God's got good for you. Amen. Don't even be seeking a man. Seek Jesus. God will send him to you. Man, some women, they get, you know, they're out there single. The only thing they think about, oh, I got to get a man. Got to get a man. Just get Jesus. He'll send that person to you. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Praise God. Raise your hands this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. Raise your hands up high. Say, Jesus, thank you, Lord. My mind is being transformed. I will not receive an inferiority complex because Jesus is in me. He lives big in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My mind is being renewed to what the Word says. Who I am in Jesus. I am strong. I am the healed. I am sound mind. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm overflowing. I have the anointing. The anointed one lives in me. And his anointing. Wow, I have the power to get results. When I pray, I believe my prayers are answered. Listen to me this morning. Do you know that every time you pray in Jesus' name, that prayer is yes and amen? Yes and amen. God has got yes and amen for each one of you this morning. Amen? Raise your hands up this morning again. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. Lord, we bless this people. God, you bless this people. Amen? Thank you for the blessing of the Lord upon them. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. God, we bless them today. We thank you, Lord, for minds changing. God, that they're getting up, that their bodies are changing, their bodies are healed. Amen. Their soul is changing, God. Their soul is changing. Their soul is being healed, God. No broken heart, no broken soul, God. Hallelujah. We praise you for that today. You are the healed of the Lord. If you haven't received the Lord yet today, receive him into your life. Say, Lord, come into my life. Thank you for changing me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you love me and that you rose again. I am forever yours in Jesus' name. That's how simple it is. You believe it. You receive it. Amen. And he is yours today. Praise God. Give God some praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Shake hands with somebody and say, God is changing my mind. Amen. You are blessed.